Welcome everyone to Sunday with the Skies. We're glad you could join us again today. For those who are here, we do send this broadcast out to many places where we have performed, which is all across the U.S. and Canada. So though we are small in number here, we are actually part of a large congregation. So we'd like to welcome everyone here and everyone who is here through our electronic media. We have friends here from Missouri and Washington and Texas. We have a distinguished dancer actually with us today from Texas, who joined us as the Newfoundlander last night. So, Molly, we certainly appreciate your contributions. And yeah, just great. We had just a great night last night. And the presence of God is just wonderful here this morning, too. And we hope everybody who is watching can just sense the presence of God as you're tuned in today. We want to make sure that you know that Revival PEI is coming up very shortly, the last week of July, starting on July 23rd, Friday, going for 10 days. So please make your plans to come and vacation here and spend some time with God, spend some time in prayer, spend some time praying for your family. Come here, pray for your family, pray for your community, pray for your church, pray for your country, because God's hand is moved by prayer. And it's not big meetings with fancy speakers and well-known musicians that moves the hand of God. It's prayer. It's the prayer of His people. So if you have a few days open, please come up. It doesn't matter if you can stay a week or 10 days or 2 days. Please just come up and spend some time in earnest prayer, because God will greatly reward your efforts. This is our fourth year of revival meetings here, and we look forward to seeing you this year. We expect, of course, all you guys to come back, so hopefully it's not too far. And also, again, if you can't make it during that particular week, we are here all the way through the summer and into the first 2 weeks of September. So if you can make it up some other time, just come up anyway, because we actually have a continual revival here all the time. So it doesn't matter if you come any other week, because we just feast on the presence of God here morning and night and enjoy His company. So many people come and many people are refreshed. And we hope that you'll be part of that many. We're going to turn over to Proverbs 29 today and continue on a subject that we've been on for the last 4 weeks. And before we start, let's just seek the Lord. Lord Jesus, we come before You as Peter, who said, "Lord, where else can we go? Who else has the words of life?" Lord, we have been in this world long enough to know that there is no life in this world apart from You. And though we may get discouraged by times, and though we may even get frustrated by times, and even exasperated by times, Lord, we can't go to any place but You for refuge. We can't find comfort any place else. Though we would be tempted to give up, Lord, we can't, because only You have the words of life. You're the only one that is our refuge and our shelter and sustains our soul. So we just turn to You with a whole heart this morning. We pray that it would be You who would speak to us today. And we thank You that You use human vessels, but You speak through human vessels, so that it would be Your words. And that's what we pray, that it would be Your words today and not mine or anybody else's, but Yours, because Your words bring a great warming of our hearts, and You grant to us great strengthening, and Your words are like bread. And so we pray that each person would be fed and nourished and strengthened today, and that Your word would become powerful in our hearts, Lord. So please bless this time, and may we all be greatly strengthened. In Jesus' name I pray. Praise God. These last few weeks, we have been examining the Lord's words, which are that we are in the world, but we are not of the world. We are in the world, but not of the world. But because we are in the world, there is tremendous pressure exerted on us to also be of the world. And this, we are pressured to be conformed to the world by all the world that is around us. And so this becomes the battleground of every Christian, is to remain in the world as long as we are called, but to never become of the world. And that pressure to be conformed to this world is immense. It is on us all the time. I'm sure that Herschel has experienced that and understands what it is to be pressured to conform, to be conformed to this world. Is the battle that rages about every Christian at all times. And if you're not experiencing that battle, if you are not experiencing a battle in that area, it is because you are already conformed to this world. It's because you've already slipped into a state of drowsiness and sleepiness to the things of God, and you've already, without even knowing it, surrendered areas in your life to the world and are asleep. And those who are asleep, they're not disturbed by anything. And so there's not going to be any battle that's raging around those who have already given in and are living a compromised life. So this is for those who are experiencing the battle. These are the ones who are actually trying to do what the Lord said. He said that those who hear these words and act upon them shall be like those whose house is built on the rock and it will not be shaken. So as we try to hear the words of God and to live by them, now you are going to be in a battle. You are going to experience a lot of resistance. You're going to experience a lot of flack and difficulty because the power of this world hates anybody who actually hears the word and begins to act on it. So, and the pressure will come not only from the world around you. That's hard, but it's easy in comparison to the main tool that is used, which is pressure from within the church of those who have surrendered, who have become conformed to the world. This is where the intense pressure comes because these are people that we love, these are people that we respect, these are people we admire, and these are people we don't want to be at odds with. And so that's where the pressure becomes really intense. And I know that we have many young people that have experienced this difficulty, even coming up against their parents who would try to dissuade them from following the Lord with all their heart. This is a real test. This is a real hard thing because we want to love and obey and respect our parents. We do. But this is why Jesus said, we have to love him more. We have to love him more. That's why he said, even if our family members who we love are trying to dissuade us from following Christ, we have to choose Jesus over them. Now, just remember that if you will obey the Lord, he will cause everything to work out right. He will cause them to come around and to become in fellowship with you and Jesus. So hold your guns. Okay, so now we're going to continue on in this vein of not being conformed to the world, of being in the world and not of the world. We're going to go over to Proverbs 29, verse 25 says, the fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. The fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. So I want to call your attention to the father of our faith, Abraham. And Abraham loved the Lord. He was called out by God. And what did God require of Abraham? Well, the first thing he told him is he had to leave Ur of the Chaldeans and go out by himself, essentially as a nomad. Now, Abraham, if you read anything in Josephus, you'll see that Abraham was hugely successful in Ur of the Chaldees. He was very well known. He was very well respected. He was very wealthy. And when God called him out of that city to become a nomad, he had to leave behind all that was important to him, all that was valuable to him, all that was valuable to any man, which is to be respected in the community, to be looked up to have the good opinion of people, to be prosperous, all these things that mean so much to men. God, the first thing God did was say, you have to leave the city. You have to leave. And what did he leave to? Good grief. To wandering around in the wilderness in a land that was not even called his own yet. You see, it's different from our perspective because we know, of course, Israel was given to him. So that was a great blessing. But he didn't know that. He just had a promise. And it did not belong to him. So he had to take a step of faith and he had to leave Ur of the Chaldees behind in order to follow after the Lord. Now, because he is the father of our faith and we are his sons and daughters, God has required us also to come out from the city of the Chaldees to follow after the Lord. Whew. What does that mean? That's a huge thing. It's a huge thing to be called out of Ur. And each one of us is called out of Ur. Our own personal Ur. Now, what does that consist of? Well, there's a few different things. There's a lot of different things. I'm only going to hit on a few. There's, in some cases, you may be living in a situation that is bringing temptation upon you. And this would be, a lot of young people are in this category. You're living in a situation where you are surrounded by temptation. You are surrounded by temptation. And to leave your Ur may actually mean you should actually pick up and leave. You should go someplace else. Get out of that environment. Get out of the environment where you're tempted with drugs or with immorality or with all the things that kids do today. If you're in a situation where you are surrounded by these things, do not even hesitate. Don't even think about it. Just pack your bags and move someplace else as fast as you can. Just go to some place where those things aren't. Go to a place where your friends aren't, where those who tempt you into these things are not next to you. It's a matter of life and death for you. It is life and death for you to be away from those whose influence will actually kill you. And it may not kill your body, but your soul is dying, and eternal death is way worse than physical death. So just pack your bags and leave. And I mean that. Take it seriously. Take this warning seriously. Remember Joseph. He was being tempted by Potiphar's wife, and what did he do? He fled. He fled from where the temptation was. And so that's what we need to do. As part of our coming out of Ur, we need to flee from where the temptations are that we might seek God in peace. Another big, big, big area that is so immense and that is so heartbreaking and crushing is the pressure to be conformed to the things of this world, to the success of this world. Just like Abraham, he was successful. he was successful, he was respected, and he had to leave that to follow after the Lord. And so now we have tremendous pressure for success. Remember, we covered that last week. And this pressure for success, we measure everything by worldly success. And so we send our children and our grandchildren into ungodly environments in the pursuit of success. We send them into horrible environments. And our schools are absolutely dense of iniquity. And when we send our kids into these schools, these institutions, we are in many ways saying, here's our kids, Satan, why don't you just go ahead and raise them up the way you want, because and we choose that way because it's so inexpensive and it's so convenient to just send our kids off into the world. It's convenient. And so we allow them to be raised in conformity with the world. And I say, how much are your kids worth? How much are they worth to you? They're worth any amount of effort. Do whatever it takes to make sure that they are in an environment where they will be raised with the fear and knowledge of God. Do whatever it takes. If they're young, homeschool them. Just homeschool them. Homeschool them. Or if you can, find a godly Christian school, if there's some around. And when they get older, don't even think about sending them into a worldly university. Don't even think about it. It is the most corrupting influence that is in this country, is sending kids into our worldly universities where a Christian young person cannot survive that environment. It's just like sending them to hell. So don't do it, okay? Don't do it. Just take them out. Don't let them go in that direction. You're the parents. Direct them to an environment where they will grow in God. This is very important. It's very important. It's life and death. Now, the other thing that we have to particularly pay attention to that I want to call us to today is Proverbs 29. The fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. Now, as we begin to seek the Lord, as I said, we are pressured to compromise. Not to be so radical, not to be so extreme, not to make the Lord so important. It's like, you talk about the Lord all the time, and you know, we're under this constant pressure to just make the things of God just a little bit of something on the side that we do. As soon as we begin to make Christ central to our lives, so that he actually becomes our all in all, so that we begin to love him more than anything else, like we're supposed to, right? The greatest commandment is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. That is an encompassing work. And as we begin to do that, what happens to us? We will begin to be criticized on all sides, mainly from the people that we love and respect. There will be tremendous pressure exerted on us in all different ways that will discourage us. And it will have tremendous teeth in it. It will have a tremendous impact on us as we try to live for Christ. Because why? Because innately inside of us, each one of us wants to be loved. We want to be respected. We want to have unbroken fellowship. We want people to like us. We want to be liked. And that is a natural thing. There's nothing wrong with that. God made that as part of our nature. However, when we fear the criticism of man, when we fear, when we are too afraid to let go of that desire to be loved, that desire to be liked, so that we are unable to face criticism for following Christ, that's when the fear of man becomes a snare. And we don't want to cause any ruffle. We don't want to cause any trouble. We don't want anybody to dislike us. We don't want anyone to criticize us. That's for sure. We just hate it. Guess what? The Lord has called us. He has called us to be peculiar. He has called us that we have to be willing to surrender men's opinion of us to follow him. He's made it to be part of the package. When he said, count the cost before you follow me, that's what he meant. Is that we would have to face the criticism of men. Jesus speaks about this all the time. All the way through the Gospels, he speaks about this. He says, my Bible is just so full of stuff, I can't find things very easily. Sorry. Says, I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Okay? So just for following Christ with all our heart, we will face criticism. We will face the displeasure of many. And that is the thing that in many cases is the error of the Chaldeans, that we have to personally leave. We have to personally say, you know, I'm just going to embrace this. I'm going to follow Christ no matter what. I'm going out of that city. I'm going out from where I have to be approved and loved by people, because I am going to follow the Master no matter what the cost. And when we make that determination, we will begin to make serious progress and serious strides in Christ. And we will start to be conformed to his image. So it takes that earnest decision. Now, the beauty of it is that as we trust in the Lord, as we trust in the Lord to be our defense, as we trust in the Lord to be our life and to be our all in all, guess what? He who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. So as we compromise and become of the world by caving into the pressure of the world around us, it's a snare to us and we will be disgraced. But if we will stand our ground and we will firmly, solidly say, no, I am following after Jesus no matter what, we may face the criticism immediately, but God will exalt us. God will exalt those who honor him. So we have to make that decision. We have to hold to it and follow after him with all of our heart. Let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 51. Says on verse 6, lift up your eyes to the sky, then look to the earth beneath, for the sky will vanish like smoke, and the earth will wear out like a garment, and its inhabitants will die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not wane. Listen to me, you who know righteousness, a people in whose heart is my law. Do not fear the reproach of man, neither be dismayed at their revilings. For the moth will eat them like a garment, and the grub will eat them like wool. But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation to all generations. So my word for those today who are suffering right now for following after the Lord, and there's many of you who have come to our conscience, many of you who have taken a commitment to start seeking the Lord every day, many of you are facing great discomfort right now, you are being criticized, and you are enduring all things that you never thought would happen to you. And my word of encouragement to you today is to consider not the reproach of men. Don't even think about it. Don't even consider it. Don't worry about it. Follow after the Lord with all your heart. Do not look to the left or the right. Do not let the fear of man be a snare to you. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Follow after the Lord's words and do not let anything dissuade you from following after Christ. Follow him with all your heart. Let the world speak what it will, and you will be exalted. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you'd greatly encourage all of our brothers and sisters who are struggling today. Pray that you greatly encourage them, especially those who are being attacked by church members and those that they have fellowship with, Lord. I pray that you'd greatly strengthen them and encourage them that they are definitely not alone in this and that it is required of every follower that they would follow after you no matter what, even if they're the only one. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd bless them today and give them great encouragement. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So thanks for joining us today. And again, give us a call or email us if you can come up. We'd love to have you come. And we hope to see you here.